Blog Talk Radio.
Not too many more of these Frat House Sports' cleanup hitters programs left now in the remainder of this season, as we are now into the, well, I guess the final games. I mean, we're into the final games. We got game four. Game fours are going on this evening right now as we speak in the National League Divisional Series. Game fives will be going on tomorrow in the American League. And so here we are. We came to you last Tuesday night, and that was just the very, very, very beginning of the Major League Baseball postseason activity with the American League wildcard game. And 1 week later, well, we're down to the remaining few games now in both the AL and NLDS before we head into, starting on Friday night, the League Championship Series. Yeah, and it's that kind of season. And folks, I got to tell you, I said it on Thursday night on our Frat House Sports Show. I said it again on my Saturday afternoon Frat House Saturday program, and I'm going to say it again this evening. The baseball playoffs this year have been phenomenal, absolutely wonderful. Every game has been, and while there have been maybe just one or two, what one might consider to be kind of blowout games, even those can be overlooked because the side stories, all of the things going on in around Major League Baseball, the fact that very few home teams have been able to actually put together any kind of really serious wins at all. It's all kind of been dominated by the road teams. And just watching the dynamic of it all has been absolutely entertaining. And you can only hope that it's going to continue through to the League Championship Series. We're going to be talking a lot, rather obviously, about, well, what has now come down to being the 8 remaining games in Major League Baseball, soon to be just 4, in just a matter of hours, as we're now about 24 hours away from, I guess we could have Game 5s, of course, in the National League Championship Series, in which case then we'll be heading into Thursday activity as well. But, well, we'll see about that one. One series right now looking like, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, the wild card games, a lot of people were grousing. Oh, one guy on our panel, yeah, he's not here this evening. He said he might be able to jump in for a couple of minutes. That Caleb guy, boy, was he doing a lot of whining the day after his Pittsburgh Pirates lost in that one-game play-in. That would have been last Wednesday and into Thursday. Yeah, he was doing a lot of whining, saying, yeah, for gosh sakes, this thing's got to be moved to a 3-game series for sure. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Hey, and, we're going to talk a little bit about one Chase Utley as well. We'll get into all that. Joining me this evening, and we're going to see because we're kind of playing this open-ended, but joining me this evening, and boy, am I thrilled about this. Sean, it's good to have you on a show. I'm really pleased. And one of our final ones, too, as well. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get you in on one of the, you know, we only have two left after this evening, so I guess we'll play it by ear, but good to have you on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to be back, and yeah, we'll definitely have to see about these last couple of weeks. My schedule's been changing, like, every day the past couple of weeks. Like, plans keep changing. I'm going to be going here. I'm not going to be going here. It's all crazy, so we'll play it by ear, but hopefully I can get on for at least one of the last two.
Well, that'd be outstanding, particularly, let's say, if it was a, you know, that last week of October, when we're now at that point, we would be into the World Series.
That's Halloween week, correct? I'm scheduled to be home that week, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So fingers crossed I'll be home. Maybe we can have a super panel that week.
That's what I would like to do. I really would like to get everybody together. And I was trying to get that arranged this evening. And we will be joined, we will be joined in here this evening by our own Nick Swartz. I don't think Nick M is going to be able to join us this evening. I'm not sure. Caleb said he might be able to call us from the road, so we're waiting to see whether that happens. I would love him to call in and do a little whining about his Pittsburgh Pirates. I thought that would be appropriate. Where are you coming now? Where were you most recently that you're home right now? Where was your most recent destination?
I was in Atlanta last.
Okay, you were in Atlanta.
And I was able to catch a game in Atlanta while I was there. I was able to go to Turner Field and catch a game. It was the Braves versus the Nationals. But,
you got that picture for me of you and the Ty Cobb statue.
Yes, I did.
Yes. Appreciate that. That was awesome. I don't know if we've really ever gotten a chance to talk about that one on the air. Perhaps we'll save that one. I actually might save that for next week, because we might be joined in here by our good friend from Wyoming, Billy Brost, might be joining us next week. So I might save the Ty Cobb story for that. But, I just was notified that Nick Swartz will be joining us in here in about 5 minutes or so. Now, where will you be? Do you have any idea where you're heading from here for, I guess it would be what, next week? I guess it would be next week, huh?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Okay,
I was supposed to be going to Virginia, but it sounds like those plans are falling through. So for the meantime, I'm going to be home again, but could be called out at any point to head out to God knows where. So,
all right.
I'll have to let you know over the weekend what the plans are.
Not a problem. We can work with that. We can roll. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. With the help of, I'm going to get, I'll get Caleb's sports machine
tonight,
in here.
Through the use of the sports machine.
We do have a baseball game going on right now. We've got game four of the NLDS going on right now. We've got the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals playing in Chicago. I am certain, Sean, you've been following this game today. I've had it on. Well, I was out on the road myself up until about 5 o'clock, so when I got back in around 5, I've had it on since then. This game's kind of gone back and forth. At one point, the Cubs actually had a 2-run lead after being down by a run. They had a 2-run lead thanks to a 3-run home run. And then the game got tied up again, and now I'm seeing that it looks like Chicago is back up. And I think we are in the top of the – we are in the bottom – yeah, 6-4, and we were in the bottom of the seventh. You know, I'm gonna state this at the risk of perhaps maybe disenfranchising a long-time Frat House Sports friend of ours, panelist, founder of the network, Sidekick, St. Louis native. I find myself kind of rooting for the Cubs. You know, I've said this repeatedly, you know, I don't have anybody in the fight anywhere. I don't have anybody in the fight either on the American League or on the National League side. But boy, it's tough not to root for Chicago, isn't it?
It is tough not to. I mean, this is a team that surrounding the whole wild card situation where, you know, either side was most likely going to be upset if they lost. And, you know, the backlash of that is apparent. I mean, we've seen it all over. But everyone was thinking, you know, like, the Pirates are a much better team than the Cubs, and they have a much better chance of taking on St. Louis. And now we're seeing the Chicago team, who's up 2-1 in the series right now and is currently winning 6-4 in the bottom of the seventh. I mean, this Cubs team could be knocking off the best team in baseball. So
I know. That's absolutely crazy.
As far as anyone is concerned, the Chicago Cubs deserve to be here as much as any team does.
Well, and that's why I was kind of hoping that Caleb could be with us this evening, and Nick M as well, because I'm trying to think, is it in this particular thread? There was a conversation that was going on between both Caleb and Nick earlier in the week, where Caleb was doing some, I don't want to say whining, but he was going on about how it was unfair and, you know, the series really needs to be a 3-game series. And, you know, how the Pirates much more deserve to be there than Chicago. And boy, oh boy, Nick Ebb came back and said, whoa, wait a minute. How can you get away with saying something like that, that the Pirates, you know, really deserve to be there more than Chicago? I mean, I think the Pittsburgh wildcard game last Wednesday night really epitomized the need for the wild card to be at least a 3-game series, don't you think?
And I'll bring you back to a point that was made probably about a month ago at this point by one of our good friends, Rick on Deck, who said that the 1-game wild card play-in would heavily favor the Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of us maybe on this panel were questioning that just because of the caliber of both teams. But he said with a pitcher like Arrieta, the Cubs are definitely favored in a 1-game because they can throw their ace out on the mound, who's done spectacularly against Pittsburgh this year. And that's also not to say that the Cubs still wouldn't have won in a 3-game series. It's just that they were much heavily favored in that situation.
And boy, if that wasn't absolutely spot on. I mean, that analysis from Rick on Deck was just spot on. Because, if we harken back to that game last Wednesday night, that's exactly what Arrieta did. He came out, and, I mean, he was just stinking lights out. Well, that was the game he had something like 11 strikeouts, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it was just...
Something like that.
Yeah, it was just... It was ridiculous. I mean, you know, you can pull out every sports analogy you want. You know, he was pitching like he had his hair on fire and all the other nonsense that they like to say. That was what Arrieta was doing. I mean, it was methodical. It would have been neat to get Caleb and Nick flying at each other over that one. I have a funny feeling we'll probably revisit this conversation, perhaps maybe as early as next week.
Oh yeah.
For another perspective, though, let me get Nick Swartz in here because we got Nick with us. I want to get Nick's thoughts on some of this stuff. Nick, thanks for joining us tonight on Cleanup Hitters and pinch hitting, as you have a clear advantage of doing.
I don't know. I enjoy pinch hitting, and I'm like that guy that comes through two outs, runners on second and third, rips one down the first baseline. I like to think of myself as that guy right there.
I like that.
You do a good job.
Not the home run hitter. Just the guy that delivers in the clutch. Just the single that drives in the run, just to move it along. I'm not the home run hitter, but, you know, just the single guy that drives in the much-needed add-on.
Outstanding. We were just chit-chatting a little bit on the front end here for a couple of minutes. Number one, I was given the update on the game, you know, on the St. Louis game here. I say St. Louis. I should say Chicago Cubs. The Cubbies are winning this one 6-4. They were down in this one twice now so far, and they've come back, and they've now gone ahead. And where are we? We're in the bottom of the still in the bottom of the seventh.
Yep.
You know, I was just saying to Sean, it's tough. You know, I run the risk. You know, I run the risk because, you know, Caleb's a Pittsburgh guy, and then, you know, co-founder of this network along with myself. Sidekick, St. Louis native, who's been with me through thick and thin over Frat House Sports for over four years with this thing. He's a St. Louis Cardinals guy, obviously. I got to tell you, though, it's tough not to root for Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I was watching the game. Like all of us, I've been watching every single game. Oddly, the only game that I missed any of was the Utley play. I'm cheering for the Cubbies. I don't have a vested interest anymore with the Yankees going out. And I think from a big baseball fan to see the Chicago Cubs and Joe Maddon, who's a manager I could not stand when he was with Tampa Bay, but I always had respect for him. He just rubbed me the wrong way when he was in the division with the Yanks. But he takes this team, this really young team, and flips them around to, over 95 wins. These are young kids. It's exciting to watch them. Great pitching. Other than if you are a St. Louis native or if you're a Cubs fan, I see it being really difficult not cheering for the Cubs. When Jason Hamill came up in the bottom of the second, like what a decision that is there for Joe Maddon. Like, does he pinch hit for him, runners at second and third, two outs, or first and second, whatever it was. And, what do you do there? Do you take your starter out in the second inning, which I believe was his plan if they had walk bases loaded? He makes a great call there. And Hamill, first pitch, singles up the middle, drives in a run, and then which leads to a three-run knock and jumps the Cubbies up, 4-2. And it was exciting. And the Cubs, to me, are exciting baseball. They're exciting for the postseason. And, I understand with Caleb and Sidekick, obviously, you're not going to cheer for the team for Caleb that knocked his team out. I don't look at it that way. Like, I'm cheering for the Houston Astros. I want them to do good because I feel like if they do good, it makes me feel better about the Yanks being blanked by them. So I don't look at it like that. But they're a young team, good manager, high-profile manager, great fan base. They just redid the stadium, great general manager. It'd be hard not to cheer for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. And as much as I hate to, I know that Sidekick's not listening to the program live tonight, so he won't be able to be cursing me live right now. He'll be, he'll listen to it. He'll listen to it in archive later and curse me then, because I know right now he's sitting watching this, and he's already dropped a couple of expletives online with regard to this game. So, but you know what? The Cardinals are always there. You know what?
Yeah.
I say, let somebody else have it for once, darn it all. Really. But I think it's exciting to see what's happening here this evening. And I really do kind of hope that the Cubs pull it off. If anybody out there wants to jump in with us, we're talking baseball, we're talking playoffs, and we're talking about all the terrific side stories that have gone on this past week. In what has been, in my opinion, just a terrific week of playoff baseball in Major League Baseball. And if you want to jump in with us, please don't hesitate to do so. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can, if you're listening on a computer and you're Skype capable, hit the little Skype button. You can jump in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, leave us a message there, or you can hit me up, on Twitter, at Frat House Mike, All right, we got a call here. Let me get the call in here. I believe this is our buddy Jersey in the house. I'm going to have to remind Jersey. Now, we're talking baseball here, Jersey, so we're not talking fantasy. Hey, Jersey,
hey,
is that you, man?
That's what I was going to ask you, because I have you down as Tuesdays for football, and I started shifting baseball, so that's why I'm like, all right, are they talking both? Because I just got home from work, and I dialed in, and I'm like, uh-oh, they might be talking baseball tonight and not football.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Tuesday night's a baseball night. Wednesday night is baseball. Fantasy night is Friday night.
It's Friday
so
night,
night.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because everybody needs Monday or Tuesday because the draft ad's during the night for tomorrow. You know what I mean, for football.
Sure. Sure.
So that's why I was going to ask a couple of questions, but no problem. You guys are talking baseball today. I'll touch base with you guys on Friday then. Sorry that I bothered you guys.
Not a problem, Jersey. You take care, man. Thanks for listening.
Take care. Have a good evening. Yep. Take care, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good guy, that Jersey. Well, we got him educated. We got him educated now. There you go. We got him following the schedule. The other thing that I wanted to I was bringing up Nick, the other thing I was bringing up to Sean a little bit was the and you may have seen some of it in the thread that was going back and forth between Caleb and Nick M earlier in the week. You may have caught some of that, where Caleb was—I mean, he was mad as a hornet. I could say something worse, but I won't. I'm trying to keep it PG. But he was madder than a hornet, and doing a little bit of whining about the fact is Pittsburgh Pirates weren't there, and actually went so far as to make the comment that they had more of a right to be there than Chicago. And boy, oh boy, Nick M came right back at him. And took unkind to that one. I was kind of hoping I was going to have them two together tonight to let them really go at it. You know, the solution to this problem with the wild card, Nick, is simply to make it three games, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we had talked about before. And, you know, with the situation arising like this, in theory and logically, it sounds right going to a three-game series. But I think that takes away from what baseball was trying to do. When baseball added the first wild card, you had teams falling back and not really caring if they won the division or the wild card because they were going to get, you know, a five-game series regardless. So they go to the second wild card, they make winning the division important again. So the excitement of the one game, the game seven feel, the sellout crowds, the large audiences, which all translates to the bottom line, the dollar bills, is what makes that exciting. And yes, I agree that in theory it should be a three-game series, and it's the right thing to do, but Major League Baseball isn't going to change it. And the reasons are because of that game seven feel that you're getting at the beginning of the playoffs.
Wow.
You know, not at the end. The sellout, like Yankee Stadium, was sold out. And that game sold out in 20 minutes. I barely got tickets. And the electricity, and then you get, you know, the ESPN there, and, you know, whoever's covering it for, you know, that league and that division. And the ratings are so high. The ratings were higher for the one, playing game, essentially what it is, were higher than the first two games in every series. So
is that right?
There's a reason for that.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. The reason being, I mean, it's not crazy why. It's because it's a game seven right from the rip. It's not game one. It's game seven. And it's a do-or-die situation. And another reason I think it was because you had, you know, the Cubs were in one of them, and you had the Yankees in the other. So I think that brings in, large markets. The Yankees had been out of the playoffs for 2 years. The Cubs, you know, have had a tough go of it. But no, the ratings were extremely high. And you know, with every major sport, that's what they care about the most. The bottom line, the dollar bills. So it's not going to change. They can say they're going to think about it, consider it. But when it's all said and done, they're not going to change it. And like, not to flip flop, but I to be the devil's advocate, I understand why. Because that's why they added the second wild card. They added it for that excitement, for that game seven feel. And if they stuck with it, you know, so be it. You know, win your division if you don't want to play a one card wild card. I mean, one game wild card. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they did it. And, you know, not even from the financial aspect of it, but from that end of it. If you don't want to be in a do or die situation, win your division.
Well, you know, that's easier said than done. I mean, for God's sake,
well,
when you're talking about a division like the NL Central was this year, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Chicago, all with what, 94 games or more winners. I mean, you know, something's got to give. And at some point or another, you got to look back at it and go, Well, all right, maybe Caleb's got a point. When you've got the Texas Rangers sitting in there, who won 86 games? Texas Rangers are a representative in the American League. And you've got Pittsburgh and Chicago, who both are 94-plus. Well, I don't know. That doesn't seem quite right. And then I go to the concept of, well, couldn't we go to what Adam Silver has recommended, which is eliminate the division winners altogether and just rank all the teams top to bottom and seed them for the playoffs? Why not do that?
It's different in basketball. There's such a, especially in basketball the last 10, 15 years, as long as I can remember, there's such a power. The Western Conference is so much, not to talk basketball, but the Western Conference is just dominant. And, you know, that's hurting, this seeding. Like a team in the East, you know, 2-3 teams from the East, you know, the 8-7-6 seeds will have losing records in the East. When you have the Western Conference and, you know, 75% of the teams have a 500 or better record. I don't agree that, I mean, this happening where you have three teams that did so incredibly, you know, great, you know, 97 or plus wins all the way at the top, it's awesome, but, like, these are the rules, and, like, this is how it's set up, and it's set up right, and how many more times are we going to run into this something? How many times since the second wild card has been added has this come up? None. So
correct.
It is what it is, and, you know, I think Caleb's awesome, and, you know, but, I mean, I disagree with his point. I think he's acting like a very upset, passionate fan, which he is, and I totally understand that. But to say things as crazy as, you know, the Cubs shouldn't be, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous, and I think that once he calms down and the pain from the loss subsides, it's hard enough being a Pirates fan, let alone to get knocked out in a one-game series when you have 98 wins. So it may be a month. It may be 2 months, 3 months, but, you know, he'll realize that it's the right thing. It is. And in the three, it wouldn't work out. Like, think about it from Major League Baseball standpoint. If they go to three games, they take away everything that the wild card playing game gives them. The ratings will go down. The advertising money will be spread across and probably won't be as much. It won't be as exciting from a baseball fan standpoint. It's just it's a big loss for Major League Baseball if they take that from a one-game play-in to a three-game series, because you earn the right to have a series, and you earn that right by winning your division.
Oh, I hear you. Go ahead, Chuck.
I'd like to throw something into the barrel here about the idea of eliminating divisions and just having, you know, whatever it would be. If you take the top 10, I mean, you know, 10 teams make the playoffs now. If you take the top 10 teams out of the year, I feel like that's going to take away a lot of the excitement of what teams are actually going to make it. I mean, like, obviously we see the Cardinals a lot. In recent years, we've seen Texas a lot, but if we just take the top 10 teams every single year, if those, you know, same 10 teams are always doing the best, then you're going to see the same playoffs every single year. When you have divisions set up with, you know, with five teams per, and there's a division where it's like really, really tight, but maybe they don't have the best record in baseball, but that team wouldn't make it because you're eliminating divisions. So if that team maybe doesn't have one of the top 10 records in baseball, but has a good enough record to win their division in a tough division as far as that division would be concerned, you could be cheating teams out of a chance to make the playoffs, in my eyes.
Yeah.
Well, see, and one of the reasons that I'm opposed to it, and even in the NBA, is because being the old schooler that I am, I like the concept of creating the division rival. You know, that's what I like. I like the fact that there's a rivalry with the Phils and the Mets, and the Phils and the Nationals, or the Flyers and the Rangers, the Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, I like that. Or the 76ers and you know, the New York Knicks. You know, that's what I like. I like that. I like the – and I'm afraid that if we go to an Adam Silver type of model, then what you're going to do is you're going to water down the divisions to the extent that they don't have the relevance during the course of the season, and you don't get – you know, fan bases don't get up for those rivalries. Look, we play – if I'm not mistaken, don't we play the NL East division in all of baseball? I mean, in the end, if I'm not mistaken, we will play the NL East more than any other, right? In the number of games.
Yeah, that's how it's in division, yeah.
Right. And that's, to me, that's the way it should be. It's division-based. But let's do this. Because we got a fourth voice on the panel. Hey, I love it. We got Nick in. Nick, thrilled to have you. Awesome. Wish we could only have Caleb here, and then we could really do some whining. We could, or at least we could hear some whining. I read with great interest the comments that were being made the other day on our Facebook thread, where Caleb was just fit to be tied about the fact that the Pittsburgh Pirates got bounced out in the one game, and came in and made the comment. Well, you know, they should have been there because they deserved to being there more than the Cubs. And, boy, oh, boy, you jumped in on that one real fast, Nick. jump in on it now. I want to hear this.
They knew that was the rule. They knew how this was put together. They needed to win the game, and they didn't. They needed to win the division, and they didn't. And it's funny. I live with a Yankees fan as well. One of my roommates here at St. Joe's, he's a Yankees fan. He's from Syracuse. He had the same type of reactions when the Yankees got knocked out. This is complete and utter horseradish. They should be in anyway. This shouldn't even been played. And I'm sitting there thinking, 3 days ago, you had no issue with this game.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. Right, right.
I was happy they got in. And I'm a huge Yankee fan. And I'm just happy they got in and I got to see it.
Well, all right, now, okay, but I threw out, and I said in the very thread that everybody was going back in on back and forth, I said, okay, seems to me the simple solution here is a wild card goes to a three-game series. And really, when you think about it, look, that kind of makes sense, right? You go a three-game series for the wild card, five-game series for the DS, and then seven-game series for the LCS and the World Series. So you gradually move up. It goes 3-5-7. Now, Nick S. here says, well, no, Major League Baseball is not going to do that because they like the concept of the immediacy of a seventh game in a series. Nick, what do you think about a three-game series?
I agree with my buddy Nick. I think that's the disadvantage to not winning the division. You win the division and you're guaranteed a series. You play in the wild card, and I like the suspense of it being the immediacy of the game seven mentality. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was unfortunate that for the two higher seeded teams that neither one of them got into the true playoff bracket. But I kind of like the way it looked. I'll be honest with you. When they first announced this new style playoff system, I wasn't totally on board with it. I didn't think I'd really like it. I don't like it nearly. I'm sorry. I like it a lot more than I thought I would. I think it was interesting. And honestly, look at the Cubs. The Cubs are now up 6-4 with an out in the bottom of the eighth, about to move on to the LCS. And if we didn't have this one game playoff, if we didn't have the dual wild card, they might not have even been there. So the same argument you put up for the Pirates and the Yankees, saying if this wasn't the case, they'd be in the playoffs. They'd be in the situation the Cubs are in now. You could make the same case for the Cubs. You could say, look, the Cubs had the better pitcher go game one. They had the hottest pitcher in the game as their ace. It paid off. The offense was there. It paid off. They wound up beating this team. It came down to one game. It was do or die. They did it. Not only did it add excitement and revenue and viewers, but now they take that momentum and they move into this next series, which I thought I thought they were kind of at a disadvantage, only being able to pitch Arrieta in Game 3. But because they had the better ace, because they were built a better built team for a one game playoff, they now have a chance to what looks like compete in the LCS.
There was a article that I saw just before we went to air this evening and I'm trying to actually locate it right now. I'm trying to find it right now as we're talking right now. But basically, Rob Manfred was asked today in kind of an impromptu. I don't know where he was. He must have been at one of the venues. He was at one of the National League venues. I don't know which one it would have been. I don't know if he's there in Chicago or if he's going to be up in New York. But a gaggle of reporters were around him, and they were asking him what he thought of the format, the playoff format as it stands. And obviously, when a reporter's asking that question right now, what they're asking about is they're asking about the wild card. Let's get it straight. That's what they're asking about. You know, and that is, should we move to a series for the wild card? And Rob Manfred's response to the best that I can find, and I've not been able to actually put my hand on the article at this minute just yet, was he said, yeah, I'm comfortable with the way the format is. So I'm leaning to believe, Nick S., that you're probably right. I think you actually came out just a couple of moments ago and said, Major League Baseball is not going to change this because they like it. And you just pointed to the ratings, which I think are incredible.
Yeah, I mean, taking the feelings aside and just looking at this, because these sports, you know, leagues are a business. What benefits them the most? To drag out a three-game series in a sport that's losing its popularity by the year, or have this one-game wild card, called a wild card, really it's a play-in game, the excitement of a Game 7, and having that at the front end of your playoffs. I mean, it really gets the fireworks going, and it really gets people into the playoffs more. Like, the Cubs and Pirates game, you know, the Yankees being there against the Houston Astros, like the David Goliath matchup in that sense, it brought people, maybe the casual fan, more interested, and maybe then they latched onto a Houston Astros, they latched onto a Chicago Cubs, and now they're riding them out because their team's out of it, or they just maybe saw something they didn't like. And if you take that away and you make it a three-game series, it waters it down. And then again, like I said earlier, is that, and Nick also like reiterated what I said, is when they came up with this format to make, they added the second wild card, they did it to make the winning the division mean something, because when there was one wild card, there were teams that were pulling back late in the season because they knew they were in no matter what. That hurt baseball at the end of the season. It wasn't the excitement. Once the teams realized that they could employ a strategy where they could, you know, have guys ready to go into the series, Major League Baseball said, oh, hold up. And then they went to this one card. I mean, they added the extra wild card, so they had the play-in game, so it made winning the division mean something. So to differentiate from anything that Major League Baseball is doing right now would hurt them, not only financially, but it would hurt the game. You're going to have fans that are upset because their team lost. But for the Yankee fan that Nick's roommates with, and for Caleb, you know, who is crying into his pillow at his Pittsburgh Pirates pillow because the Pirates aren't into it, the bottom line is, you know what? If the Pirates had won, Caleb would not be complaining. But how about this? Let's just say, and I'll use Caleb as an example again, not to attack him, but just to point out his very passionate plea here as a Pirates fan. Let's say they do play that three-game series and the Pirates lose. My guess would be, well, why didn't we have a five-game series? You know, like, why was it only a three-game series? That's where it would go, though. And I'm not just saying to kill it. That's where it would go. It's a play-in game. If you have to win your division, yes, the Cardinals and the Pirates and the Cubs all won a bunch of games. They played great. And you know, that is the exception to the rule. The majority of these wild-card teams that get in have decent records, but they're not winning 97, 98, 99 games. So this is a fluke thing, and Major League Baseball is not going to go away from it. It would be a bad idea to do it because it would hurt the game, it would hurt ratings, it would hurt financially, and it would lose interest. Baseball is a long season, so you know, if you starting it how they do with a bang, with a Game 7 right out, you have two Game 7s and back-to-back nights with the playing games, and that draws people in, you know, and it would be foolish. And I would if I was a betting man, I would bet large quantities of money that they may talk the good talk, but never. It's not happening.
Yeah, and we know you don't do that. Nick,
no, I do not bet.
I know you don't.
I did not bet on that Steelers game last night and lose at the 1 yard line.
You did not do that?
No. If I did,
yeah,
I'd be really upset.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you don't sound much like you did. Nick, go ahead. Let me have your thoughts on it. I want to throw a question at you though, Nick M. Go ahead. Good, give an answer.
When Nick was speaking, he kind of, I think, steered around this a little bit, and he kind of unintentionally, I think, brought up a good point. Mike, you in the whole support for the 3-game series, you let me back up. Let me restart. So you were a fan. You were just saying you're a fan of the traditional divisions, the division rivalries, yada yada yada. As am I. I think that's part of what makes baseball great. Is you play for your division, then you play for your league, then you play for the World Series. That's part of what makes it great. If we were to let's say put all of these teams, go the Adam Silver style, which was mentioned before, you wouldn't see a lot of that those divisional rivalries.
Correct.
For reasons that you said, but at the same time, if you were to add this 3-game series at the end of the series, I think you'd see a lot less divisional rivalries, because part of what makes the winning the division so important is that getting into the next round automatically. We have now the Cubs and the Pirates going at it, and yeah, these are the three best teams in all of the NL, and maybe all of baseball. We have the three best teams all in the same division, and it's incredibly unfortunate for the Pirates and the Cubs, but if you had that 3-game series to win, if it didn't, if the difference between winning the division and getting the wild card wasn't so drastic, I don't know that winning the division would mean as much. I don't know that you'd see the same divisional rivalries. I think you'd kind of unintentionally take away from the purpose of divisions.
I can make an argument for that. I can make an argument for that because I think in most now look, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is only what is this only this is only year 3 or 4, I think,
yeah,
with the second wild card now, so. In those years that we've seen it up to this point, it's very rare we see two teams from the same division playing in the playing.
I think Nick said it right. It was a fluke.
Right. Okay. Now, when normally you have two teams playing from different divisions in the play-in, how would that diminish still wanting to win their division? See, I don't think that does.
Well, because if you win the division, you are automatically put into a 5-game series, and it doesn't necessarily matter who your opponent is. But if I'm the second place Yankees and I'm chasing the first place Blue Jays, if there's a 3-game series where I know I can beat the Astros in 3-game series, or at least I'm more confident, there's a better chance. It doesn't all come down to one game. I'm sitting there thinking, of course I want to win my division, but if not, I've got a 3-game series to prove I belong there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they say, a larger sample size, the more expected results become. If we have this 1-game play-in and I'm the Yankees and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh God, you know, we have one game and we're better than we might be better than the Astros. We might win over the long run, but I need to win this division now, because if it's one game, I'm going up against Dallas Keuchel, and the Astros are good. The Astros are good with Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel, fantastic pitcher. One game, anything could happen. All of a sudden, now the difference becomes more drastic. So it's not really a matter of who your opponent is, but because of the huge difference between one result as compared to the other, I think it makes that first result so much more desirable. Not to say it wouldn't be anyway.
Agreed.
But it's a matter of degrees.
Agreed. And your odds are, obviously you want the first result, because your odds on favorite are going to come out of, are going to be much greater out of the first result. So
right.
Obviously that would be what you want. Just an FYI, I do have Rob Manfred's comments from this afternoon. And interestingly, they come from the Chicago Tribune. So I'm assuming that Rob Manfred might, in fact, be right now in Chicago. He was asked what his opinions were of the current wild card game format. And his quote, and this is spot on, "Look, I am really comfortable with the playoff format we have now. It's an unusual circumstance to have three teams, like the three teams in the National League Central, be as good as they were and win as many games as they did. I understand why people are asking the question. Having said that, I think it's a mistake to rethink your playoff format based on 1 year of experience. We'll see how it goes for a couple more years, and I think we'll reopen and we'll We'll be open to making adjustments should we see this sort of thing continue. So for the moment, both of you guys, both Knicks are probably spot on with your belief on how this is going to go. Look, I don't, you know, don't get me wrong. I do not want to see an Adam Silver concept. I don't like the Adam Silver concept in the NBA. Now, that's not to say I won't like it, you know, come May or June. You know, maybe it'll work out great when they put it into play this year in the NBA. But on paper, I don't like it because, to me, it diminishes the concept of division. And being the old school kind of sports guy that I am, obviously I like that. I like that rivalry thing. So I don't want to see it. To me, I just throw it out there as an option. I mean, you know, when I throw it out there, what I'm saying is I'm throwing it out there as a devil's advocate sort of thing. But all right, let me do this. 347-826-9964 if anybody wants to jump in with us. We got an all-star panel here tonight. We got Sean in with us from his many, many journeys all across the country. Just got in from Atlanta. Sean's joining us tonight. We got both Knicks, Nick Swartz and Nick M, joining us this evening. And the only one we're missing is our Pittsburgh Pirates fan who still has not been able to come out of the closet after they lost last week. Oh, man, we're skewering him tonight, aren't we? It's just bad. It's just
he's not
bad.
Even here to defend himself. I feel like
I know. I got to stop it.
I was thinking the exact opposite. If I think that he just bailed from this because he knew this was coming.
No.
I mean,
if you're
not going to show up, then, you know, to defend yourself, I'm not going to stop saying stuff that I would say. It would be different if we wouldn't say this right to him. I would say this right to him. You obviously already did, Nick. So I feel like what we're doing is the right thing. It's good radio. It's the truth. We're calling it as we see it. Him not being here, it's unfortunate, but, you know, why stop being ourselves?
Oh, man. Caleb, you're never going to want to miss another show again. I want to bring something up here because, Nick Swartz, you brought up something on Thursday night's show. We had a chance to get you on the Mothership program. You were co-hosting with us over on the Frat House Sports Show on Thursday night. And I brought up a little phenomena that was occurring, or at least was prevalent, even going into Thursday evening. And that prevalency continued all through the weekend so far in these playoffs. We are right now in game 17 in the whole playoff season so far. This is including the wild card games from last week. So tonight's NLDS game 4 between the Cardinals and the Cubs is game 17. Of those 16 previous games that have been played, only 6 times has the home team won. And Nick S., you made the comment on Thursday night's program here that you don't think home field makes a darn bit of difference. And basically, you're kind of proving that so far. It doesn't make a difference. In fact, it might be a hindrance. You might be better off on the road, huh? What do you think
on
that? I just think it's continued.
Well, you know, I'm not one to, you know, be shy about enjoying being right. But it's just, hey, look, I mean, I'll make fun of Caleb and everyone else, but I'll pull my own card out, too. Like, I like being right. And it's not even so much being right there. It's just obvious. It's very obvious in baseball. It's different than the other sports that home field advantage does not have the same effect. And there's multiple reasons why, you know, like the playing a lot more games, the fans being farther back, how the game's played. It's a different game in baseball. The home field advantage, the only thing that makes home field advantage a bigger deal is that I guess you have four, so you would have 4 games at home and 3 on the road and then 7 games here. So it would be the amount. But, and again, like, you know, the more I thought about that comment, I think that the only time I really give it any kind of swing would be in a game 7, because I think that in a game 7, the electricity, but not even a lot, but just like the air, the feeling of being home, the crowd, but I also can see the negatives of that. I think sometimes teams getting out of their home, Toronto Blue Jays, look at them, oh, down 0-2 at home, they go on, getting away from the home media, getting away from the home distraction has helped them out. Baseball is a unique sport in many, many ways, and we're seeing something that I think has always been true, that home field advantage does not matter in the postseason. I don't think it does. I think it's given too much influence when it really doesn't have any. Unless you play, like, I think for the Cubs maybe a little bit because their ballpark's interesting. Kansas City Royals ballpark is an interesting setup, so the outfielders know the strange dimensions in Kansas City a little bit better than a visiting team would. But if you're in a series with them, hopefully that you spend enough time out there that you know it, but obviously you don't know it as well as the home team. So little things like that, I think, make a difference. But in the grand scheme of things, home field advantage play a big role in deciding who's going to win these games, not like in the other sports.
Yeah, you know, and to me, I just can't seem to wrap my brain around it. I don't know if anybody can help me out there on that one or not. But let me, you know, one of the things I pointed out to you on Thursday night's program, Nick, was I said to you, but, you know, when you get to the league championship games, and, you know, we see it, we as fans see it. And look, maybe there are two teams playing that again, you know, much like I am this year, I don't have an interest in either one of them. But I see those fans going crazy in the towels of whatever color they might be they yellow or orange or white or whatever, red, who cares? But, you know, all the towels are going and you don't think that has an impact, an influence when you get into, say, the LCS or into the World Series?
Well, last I checked, cows don't pitch. Cows don't hit. Fans don't pitch or hit. No. I mean, the baseball player goes in there with a frame of mind. They're going to do their job. They get it done. If anything, as a visitor, it gets you just as hyped up as the home team, maybe even more. You know, when you're a pitcher on the mound and you have the opposing team fans chanting your name, I would get riled up. And if you know, to play the position of pitcher, you have to be strong mentally to begin with. I would think that would, you know, drive you more. So, no, the little – I mean, it's cool for TV. It's a nice drama. It's a nice storyline. You know, like when the Angels had their little rally monkeys and all that happy stuff. But that's all it is. It's a storyline. It's something to, you know, the ESPN promos or when they – at the beginning of the games. But it doesn't play a role. In the World Series or in the AL championship or NL championship, like the towels, but it's just a cool backdrop to a baseball game. But it doesn't affect the game.
All right, guys, I want to get both Sean and Nick in on this, though. Help me out here, because if I'm to buy in to what Nick S. is telling me, then somebody's got to explain to me why it would matter in other sports. Why does it matter in football? Why does it matter in maybe, I don't know, hockey? I mean, it does seem to matter in hockey. Why does it seem to matter there, but it doesn't matter in Major League Baseball? Any thoughts?
I think you can make an argument for both sides with either or any of the sports, to be completely honest. I mean, for one, I mean, if you have a team that's not doing so well, i.e. for the baseball example, the Phillies this year, home field advantage isn't really going to do much because they're not a good team in the first place. So, you know, depending on who they're playing, they might not even have a chance. But I think that, you know, in these playoff situations, and although the sample from this year, as far as the records are concerned, what is it, 6-11 for home teams in the playoffs? I do honestly think that being at home does have an advantage. And I think it's going off of what Nick had said before, is that you're playing in a very comfortable environment. You're playing in a stadium that you've been playing in all year, and the team you're playing might not necessarily have as much of a comfort playing in. And also just being in the atmosphere with people that are cheering you on, you know, I don't know. I feel like just being in a comfortable at-home atmosphere is what would give you that advantage. Although this year, we're obviously not seeing that. So maybe all of that is just, you know, a placebo for, you know, doing well at home. Maybe it is all just a placebo. It's just something people make up just to say, like, hey, you know, if my team has home field advantage in a series, we're more likely to win just because we're going to be in the home environment. But, you know, maybe what happened this year speaks to the fact that this isn't the case.
Right. All right, well, breaking news there. We got the Cubs have advanced. They have just beaten the St. Louis Cardinals. Who'd have thunk this one? 6-4. And they took that series 3-1, and they will go move ahead and play the winner of either the Dodgers or the New York Mets in the NLCS. Wow. Yeah, who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? Let me get Rick on deck in here with us. We'll get Rick's thoughts on a couple of things. Rick, what do you
Hey.
I don't even know where to start, man. I don't know where to start. Can we start with the Cubs or?
It's amazing how much has went on, and I agree with you. I mean, it's been an exciting playoff so far.
Awesome.
Congratulations to the Cubs. I mean, I agree with you. I think they're, you know, a team that's easy to get behind and root for just because they've been the lovable losers for so long. And now they actually have an exciting young team. I think that the Knicks have brought that out tonight. That, you know, they're an easy team to get behind because they are exciting. I mean, they're exciting to watch. Style of play and, you know, they're offensive. They can pitch. You know, so congratulations to them. I do want to send my condolences into Caleb because I think I might have had a hand in the Cubbies knocking off the Pirates because I gave them the formula for how to beat them. But I felt bad for Caleb after that happened. But I have to say that, you know, that's what those one game playoffs are like. They're very chancy.
Oh, that is hysterical. All right, so let's see. Next up, I guess we got the Dodgers and the Mets coming at us. And we'll see how that one goes. Rick Odek, we were just chatting a little bit about the lack of home field advantage. And what an anomaly seems to be. It seems to be in Major League Baseball. While it matters, obviously, listen, Seattle makes it clear to all of us all the time how much it matters in the NFL, right? I mean, they got their whole tribute to the 12th man. It matters there. You know, it seems to matter in Major League Baseball during the regular season because, you know, during the regular season, what's one of the things we're looking at? We're looking at home record. We're looking at road record. Who was it who just brought up a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about some of the weaknesses of some of the teams that would be going into the playoffs? And I forget somebody...
The Astros actually playing on the road,
Exactly. Somebody brought up the Astros and said, oh, man, they're a really weak road team. Well, for God's sakes, that seems to be the formula this year. I can't seem to wrap my brain around this, why this is so prevalent. I don't know. Is it just this year or has it been prevalent and I've just been missing it?
Yeah, you know, I think that in baseball and – The part about the regular season actually kind of undermines my point a little bit, but I think in baseball, especially in the playoffs, you know, the rowdiness of the crowd, it doesn't play into it as much as the other sports. Because like in football, the good example is Seattle, because the crowd being loud, that actually impacts, you know, the way that players communicate on the field from the opposition, how they have to signal in plays, makes them very uncomfortable. So crowd noise in football can be very disruptive to especially offenses from the opposition. So that, I think, does play a direct role. So you probably see home teams doing a lot better, especially in those places where they can get really loud. In baseball, I don't know how much communication, you know, really takes place. You know, there's not a lot of verbal signals being given or anything like that. So as long as you're a player that can block out crowd noise, I don't think that, you know, it really impacts a whole lot in baseball from that perspective. Now, yes, the electricity might get you jumping a little bit, but I went to a couple of playoff games in 1993, and both of them were duds. I went to a playoff game and against the Braves and a World Series game against who were the Phillies playing in?
When? What, 93?
Yeah.
You say 93? The Phillies played played the Braves in 93 in the
In the World Series, right. So I went to one game each in those series, and the place was electric.
Yep.
Until the first inning was over. And in both of those games, the Phillies were getting blown out. And it's like, you know, as long as you can, you know, muster, you can take the crowd out of a baseball game pretty easily. Plus the fact that it's hard to sustain that electricity for 9 innings. It's not, you know, I don't think it's as hard in like a football game where when your offense is on the field, you know, you don't have to be as noisy or whatever. So you're getting breaks during that. And I think the same thing, I think about hockey, that electricity, like if there's a big hit on the ice, it's kind of like one of those, you know, kind of like short infusions of energy that happens in hockey. Again, you don't get that same thing in baseball. It's kind of like, okay, how long can we, you know, keep this kind of like electricity going?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that probably the NFL and the NHL are probably the most impacted by their crowd, because I'm not sure the NBA is that impacted by it either.
Yeah, I'm not
sure
either.
But I'm not sure what the statistics are on that. But it is an interesting year, certainly in baseball, that home field advantage is, you know, they're losing 2/3 of the games at home. That's, you know, I think that's a little bit of an anomaly, but I do think that it's less impactful in baseball, just from the perspective that it doesn't matter how loud you yell, I don't think you can really impact anything that's going on the field.
Let's go to a real quick contemporary, modern, how about 24 hours old, a case study of exactly what we're talking about here. How about those Houston Astros yesterday? They had the series wrapped up. They had a 4-run lead, guys, going into the 8th inning. And they lost the game at home, 9-6. Royals come back, they tie that series at 2-2. And now, running the risk of going to a game 5, tomorrow evening in Kansas City. Now, maybe not, because Houston has done okay against Kansas City in Kansas City so far. I think they're, 1-1? They won one and lost one, if I'm not mistaken, or did they win both of the first two games? Hold on, I've got the scores here. They won game one. They won game one, and they lost game two. So they're 1-1. But they had that game yesterday locked up, game 4. They had it locked up, guys. And I throw the question out there, is it possible Houston may have lost the series right then and there by not closing that game out? I mean, it looked bad. That 8th inning was horrific. I mean, it was horrible. Not only did Kansas City come back and tie that game in the 8th inning, they actually went ahead. So I forget how many runs they put up on the board. It was 5 or 6. Any thoughts on that game from
Edmonton? Yeah, I think that that was it. You're going to – for in the one setting that I did bring up was the Kansas City Royals playing in a stadium, especially in the outfield. It's very unique to other major league ballparks, and they built a team that their outfielders are perfect for that that outfield, and they got a lineup that is perfect for their stadium. Like, the Kansas City Royals literally built their team around their stadium. And they would be, like, my one exception to an extent to my rule of not believing in home field advantage. But when KC put 5 up in the 8th inning, That was it. I don't see this young Astros team coming back.
I know.
To the point, you know, where they can bounce back from this and win. And it also showed a glaring weakness in the Houston Astros bullpen.
Yep. Yep.
There's another thing. You could talk about the motivation of the team, too. You know, I feel like the environment in the locker room has a big impact on the way these teams play. And when your team is doing well, teams will rally because their players are excited. You know, again, let's go back to the Phillies. In the beginning of the second half of the season, right after the All-Star break, the Phillies ended up going on a rally and were the best team in baseball in that half for, you know, however long it was. But when you lose a game like that, especially in a game four that you should have won, the Astros team, especially as a young team, are going to be very demotivated after losing that game. The environment in that locker room isn't going to be as electric as it was maybe, you know, after they won game three and we're going into game four with the advantage. So you could argue that, you know, the Kansas City Royals, after winning that game, and the Astros after losing that game, their locker rooms respectively were very electric and very demotivated, and that's, I believe, going to affect both teams going into game five.
Go ahead, Nick. You want to throw some other...
Well, I was just going to say, when you look back at that inning, you know, it was like Kansas City Rose baseball. Number one, like they've been in this spot before. You know, it doesn't seem like that to many, but, like, this team has been together, and they have that veteran presence. So they're down, and they start the eighth inning off like they've been doing all season long. Single, 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 single. Now we're going to get deeper into the Houston bullpen. Single. And then the air, the big air there. But how the Royals start off, like, just how they play, that single, 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 single. You know, they're not going for the long ball. They're just chipping away because that's the mentality they have. And that's why I really like this Kansas City Royals team to make it to the World Series. The Houston series is a wrap. Houston is that young team, like Nick was saying. They're young, and that was a gut shot. Like, their fans were, like, probably on their phones ordering, you know, ALCS tickets. The place wasn't even that loud. You know, watching the game, in the eighth inning, it was like, you know, this would be a negative impact of being home in the fans. The fans, the guy had all that excitement, you know, in the bottom of the seventh when you had those big home runs and, you know, they jump out to that 6-2 lead. Well, the top of the eighth starts, and it's not the continuation of the crowd being into it. It wasn't like it was the exact opposite. They kind of fell back. We're like, you know, like we're going to go in cruise control and ride this out. And the Kansas City Royals played like the Kansas City Royals did, and they just deflated this team. I cannot see how they come out and win tomorrow night. I don't see how that's possible. Johnny Cueto is the wild card because he hasn't pitched the way that the Kansas City Royals had expected when they acquired him. But Kansas City's got this wrapped up. They want it. I bet these Houston players are afraid to lose more than they're thinking about winning, if that makes any sense. The Kansas City Royals, even down 6-2, I do truly believe in their minds, weren't shook. And even when you go back to that game, I think the Houston Astros were thinking, we can't lose this game. We can't go back to KC. We can't lose this game. That's how it was managed, and that comes from the top to the bottom. That's how it was managed. That's how it was played. And the Kansas City Royals aren't the type of team to get that way. They have a wonderful manager. And now that it goes back to KC, I don't care if they're playing on the moon. I don't care if they're playing this game in Houston again tomorrow. KC wins, they move on, and play the Toronto Blue Jays, which is, you know, obviously down the road. But I'm just saying that was it. And I'm watching that game. It was like you couldn't believe it. It was such a swing. And then you have like a 45-minute eighth inning. And it was like, it wasn't like the Kansas City Royals were hitting these shots. They just were hitting singles, doing what they do.
And that's exactly
nice baseball.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. As I'm watching it, I'm sitting here, And look, I don't make any qualms about it. I've gone into this whole playoff right from the very beginning saying I don't have – there's nobody here that I – you know, whoever wins, wins. It's okay with me. I don't have anybody – I don't have any interest. But having said that, being the true American that I am, I have a tendency to root for the underdog. Well, what does that mean? That means the Cubs, and that means the Astros. And yet, as I watched that game yesterday, what I saw there was I saw the Astros, I saw the life come out of them in that eighth inning. That's what I saw. And I agree, I don't know if they can possibly come back from that one. We got to get into, I got a little less than 20 minutes here. And if anybody wants to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964 for a couple of minutes if you want. 347-826-9964. We're tracking Major League Baseball. We're tracking what's going on right now. One game is down. Cubs advance to the NLCS. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, don't hesitate to do it that way if you want, at Frat House Mike. I just sent out our Frat House Sports MLB poll for the evening. Now that the Cubs have gotten to the NLCS, do they get to the World Series? There's the question. But let's go over to Saturday night, and let's go to game two of the NLDS, and that was between the Mets and the Dodgers. And in that game, well, we saw the quote-unquote the slide, and it just so happened to be perpetrated by one of Philly's own, former Philly, Chase Utley, slides into second base, takes out Ruben Tejada. Oh, he takes him out in a big way. How about breaking his leg? I've got my theories. I've got my opinions. I've got my comments. I'll get everybody else's first. I'll go around the room. Nick M., I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, you do. First of all, I think it's funny that he gets the two-game suspension, appeals it, and it looks like he's not going to be playing either of the two games anyway. Might as well have just taken it.
Which is exactly. I agree.
Here's my issue with the whole thing. If Tejada got up fine without injury, nobody will be talking about this. I think if you want to debate whether or not the slide was dirty, whether or not it was a clean or dirty play, that's one discussion. But I'm annoyed at the suspension. The suspension's it's outrageous. If it was illegal, then call him out. He can't be illegal and safe. That doesn't make any sense. It's funny to me that the writers and the analysts are deeming the slide dirty. Yet the people who actually formerly played the game, the former players, the Harold Reynoldses, the Dallas Bradens, those are the guys saying, you know what, that's baseball. It's unfortunate, but it's baseball. Why is this slide any different than any others? There's been plenty of pictures that have gone around, plenty of videos that have gone around of other players and of Chase Utley's slides that were all fine, but this one, because Ruben Tejada gets hurt in a game that's broadcasted to the entire nation, that means a lot, all of a sudden gets a suspension. It's literally just it's a crapshoot suspension. It's a page out of Goodell's book. The suspension's a joke. Illegal slides call for outs. Guy's out at second. You can assume the double play if you want. Rarely you can eject the guy if it's really that bad, but not a suspension. One game, maybe. Two, players are taught to break up double plays and take out the middle infielder. There's no intent to injure. It's sports. People get injured. People collide. It's part of the game. The most annoying part to me is that it didn't stop with the umps on the field. The whole play was reviewed in New York. It was seen by several sets of eyes, and it took until late the other night for Joe Torre to say, nah, he gets two games. If you want to say it's dirty, go ahead and say it's dirty. We'll talk about that. But to talk about the suspension and this warranting a two-game suspension, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous to suspend him for two games for playing hard-nosed, maybe dirty baseball. There have been illegal slides before. An illegal slide warrants for, you know what, you slid illegally, you're out, as is the guy at first base. But, in fact, neither of those guys were out. But on top of that, we're going to suspend Chase Utley for two games in a five-game series.
I made the point immediately after seeing it. I said, okay, wait a minute, time out here. Why wasn't he thrown out? Why wasn't he thrown out of the game? That's it. He should be out. The player at first at home plate should be out. And he should be out of the game completely. Look, bottom line is, he was late sliding in. That's number one violation. Number two, he was outside the baseline. So was it a dirty play? In my book, absolutely, it was a dirty play. But having said that, I might agree with you. I'm not sure about the whole suspension thing. That's my opinion on it. I'll get everybody else's. Run around the room. Anybody else want to jump in? We'll just let everybody go as you wish.
Well,
we all, we all have an opinion. I know that.
Of course we all do. I'll jump in, Mike, because I actually disagree with everything you've just said.
Go ahead.
After watching the video myself and after slowing it down, I really don't think that Utley slid late. His slide was high. I'll say that. His slide was very, very high, as, you know, everyone saw. But he slid, you know, a good distance away from the bag and also still had the ability to touch the bag from his slide. So I wouldn't have constituted him outside of the base path, because as the rule states, the player has to be have the ability to touch the bag. He can't go outside of the baseline. And the fact that everyone's calling it a dirty play, I mean, when you talk about dirty players in any sort of sports, that's someone, you know, who's going out there, someone who would have an intent to injure someone on a play like that, which all of us know, Chase Utley isn't that kind of player. He's not someone who's going to go out there and try to injure someone. He's just playing the game hard. And he's playing the game within the rules.
I would agree with you. I do not think that he was intentionally trying to hurt the guy. But I'm telling you right now, there's no doubt in my mind, his intention was not to be safe. His intention was to take the player out.
Exactly. And Chase Utley has made slides like that before. And like Nick said, it's never been an issue up until this point where he's injured a player. But injuries are part of the game. They happen. It's a freak accident. No one means to get someone else hurt.
Oh, no. How many times do we see a second baseman come down and break their leg? Seriously, come on.
But if I can interject a little bit
into
that. I think the reason why Tejada got hurt was because of the nature of his pivot. If that was like a routine flip and he's facing the runner coming in, even if he gets taken out, he's, you know, I think he's more prepared for getting, you know, collided into. Also, hitting the back of his leg, That's the weakest bone in the leg is the one that he broke. I mean, it's not like he fractured a femur. Because if that was the case, Chase Utley's face would have been in a lot worse shape than it was after the slide. My opinion is that the slide was a little late. You know, he starts his slide late, but I do think there's a distinction between a dirty play and, you know, what happened on that particular play. Because just knowing the mindset of a Chase Utley, he's thinking when he's at first base, he's thinking, if this is a ground ball to the middle infield, my job is to break up the double play. That's what he's thinking. He's not thinking, my job is to go out and hurt the guy, but I'm not going to let him get the throw off.
Right.
So, again, I have a hard time considering it a dirty play. You may not like it. I mean, if I'm a Mets fan, I don't like it, obviously, because my guy got hurt and we lost the game because that play was directly a result, you know, in the Dodgers winning that game. I mean, there's no question about it. But for that, I give Chase Utley kudos. It's like, because if you don't break up the double play, you guys lose, you probably lose the series, which they may end up anyway. But the fact of the matter is you kept your team in it for that game and won that game. So, you know, when players like Cal Ripken come out and right on the broadcast and defends Utley, and he didn't even think there was anything illegal or dirty about the play. He just thought it was a hard-nosed play. I mean, I give a lot of credibility to a Hall of Fame middle infielder who probably had a lot of his share of collisions at second base coming out and defending what Utley did. So, you know, and I think that gets back to Nick's point. There's a lot of players in the game who are coming out and, if not defending Utley, at least saying that they see it as a hard-nosed play and not a dirty play. So...
I was just going to jump in. Can we all agree that if Tejada didn't get hurt, if he got it up okay, this would be blown over?
Yes.
So then what's the issue? I don't understand the issue. The issue is that Tejada got hurt. That's unfortunate. That's the way sports work, but that's not any reason to deem this illegal or to give him a suspension. You know what should happen? He should have played game three. They should have hit him the first time around. He should have taken his base, understanding how the game works, which I'm sure he would have done, and it should have been over with. This whole thing is absolutely ridiculous.
Was it an illegal slide?
It was not an illegal slide. He slid late. He was not out of
baseline.
That's
still the question. That's
if it was an illegal slide, why didn't they call it then?
He's been out.
Well, wait a minute. That's been my point all along. See, that goes back to what I was just initially saying. What I don't understand is why it wasn't called that way on the field. Look, we're seeing this kind of thing even in the NFL anymore, where they're not calling something on the field, but then later on, the NFL league is coming down and applying fines to guys for penalties that never happened on the field. And something seems amiss with that. There's something wrong with that. If it isn't called on the field, why am I getting called on it after the fact?
Exactly.
So when in fact it occurred the other night, the first thing I said, seeing it, is, wait a minute, why isn't he thrown out? Because, frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought he should have been. I thought he should have been thrown out. That was my personal opinion, because the way that I saw it as an illegal slide. Now,
well, I have a question.
I got a question for you, Nick. And my question to you is, you coach this. You don't think that was a bad slide?
No, I don't, and we do sliding practice. I coach two different age groups, but we do teach slides. With the older kids, I teach them to slide to break up a play. We actually go out and we put an old bed down, and like that's what they slide on, or like a slip and slide thing. And you know, I tell them if the ball's there, your job now is to block up the double play. So slide towards the fielder. Not within the intent to hurt, but you're going there to try to block the play. Like, let's put this in a football context. If I go out and I put a legal hit on somebody and I level him and he gets hurt really bad, you know, like, that's unfortunate. Like Nick was saying, but everyone else is saying, and I think that's what it goes back to. And my question to you, Mike, is if Tejada didn't make that big crazy flip, come down and break a bone, would you have thought it was a bad slide? If he just hits him and he falls down like 99% of the time, where the guy slides out of the base path, hits him, he falls down, he gets up, you know, all's good, would you have given it a second thought?
I would have looked at it oddly for two things. There were two things that I found odd about it right from the very beginning. One, how late he was sliding into the plate to begin with. That was number one. Number two, almost as if he was almost going into the bag, although he was almost already past the bag, he was going into it almost Ty Cobb style. That is, foot up.
Isn't Ty Cobb one of your favorite baseball players?
He is. But that was then, and this is now.
Is this like Chase Utley hate coming out? Is this like Caleb in reverse? Like, I'm just wondering.
Not at all. Can I tell you something? Back in the day, my favorite player on the team in 2008 was, in fact, Chase Utley. You know, that's the guy I wore on my back. No, not at all. But I'm telling you right now, looking at that objectively, I do not believe that was a clean slide. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, the umpire, this is the problem that I have with the biggest thing, is that the umpires didn't call anything on the field. Nothing was called on the field.
Replays in New York.
And they go to New York, and nothing's decided there. And if the bottom line is this, Tejada doesn't get hurt, Utley doesn't get suspended, and the injury should not be. That's not how the rules aren't set up that way. If a player gets injured on said side, you know, player that slide gets suspended. That's not how it goes. The injury is unfortunate, but that's the only reason. It's the perception. The perception that people watching it got, and the outcry of it was so horrible, of support after it happened, is why he got suspended. And that's a bigger issue in itself, is that all these sports leagues are letting public opinion affect how they decide things. And then again, public opinion swayed Major League Baseball to suspend Chase Utley, and it wasn't because he broke a rule. That play happens probably, you know, five times a week in the regular season, just as far on the base path, just the slide, just right into the fielder. That happens probably at least five plus times a week. That's how I teach kids to slide, because when you're sliding, you're definitely out. You're there to break the double play up. If he was so far out of the baseline, you know, then they would do something then. They didn't on the spot. They didn't do anything on the spot, so there shouldn't be a suspension, and it's ridiculous, and it's very disappointing that Major League Baseball would do that.
I completely agree with you. I do not feel that there should have been any kind of penalty after the fact. If it wasn't called on the field at the time, then there shouldn't be anything after the fact. But I frankly felt that there should have been something called on the field at the time. Go ahead, Nick M.
I just want to, and again, this goes back to the very first thing I said, Mike, because I feel like we agree, but we're arguing two different points. If you want to argue if the slide was dirty or not, if you want to argue if it was illegal or not, that's one argument. The argument I'm arguing is that the suspension is ridiculous. The suspension is absolutely ridiculous, regardless of whether or not the slide is dirty, regardless of whether or not the slide is illegal or legal. You keep saying, you know, you think issuing the suspension afterwards is wrong, and it is, but
what?
You're also saying when you looked at it, something should have been called on the field. And
correct.
Whether let's just say for hypothetical purposes that I agree with you there, okay? Let's say something should be called on the field. Then something needs to be called on the field and not after. Even if something was called on the field, you know what happens?
Right.
He's out at second base and the guy's out at first, and no suspension comes after that. The suspension in any case in this situation is ridiculous. And that's what I'm arguing. If we want to argue whether it's dirty or clean, that's another debate, and I'd be much more open to it, much more willing to be persuaded.
Right,
but
I got you. Your problem is with the suspension. My problem is with the fact that I frankly think it was a dirty play.
But even then, do you think it should be suspended?
Only if it's called on the field. It's got
to
be called on the field.
Suspension. If it's called on the field, it's over and done with.
It's got to be called on the field. Yeah, but to be suspended would mean there was intent. There was intent to injure. They have to prove there was intent to injure. And
which I don't think there was.
And I don't think there was either. So, you know.
So I have a question, because baseball has a term for it. It's called a takeout slide. I mean, it's like if there wasn't a terminology for it, then maybe there's not a place for it in the game. But it's like, would it be okay if it was a dainty takeout slide? I mean, I'm not sure, you know. And again, I admit that I think the slide was late. The slide was started late, but I don't agree that it was out of the baseline. I think it was in the baseline. I think that Utley, had he not had his face planted on Tejada's knee, that he would have been able to touch the bag. I mean, his hand slid right over the bag. But it's like, you know, I don't know how you either legislate it out of the game if you don't want it in the game and say, look, any attempt to take out the player is illegal.
Right.
Or I don't know how you can get shades of gray in here. You know, it's like, it's a tough, and obviously there are these people who fall on both sides. I mean, there's obviously a controversial play, but it's like you either legislate it out or you deal with what happens on plays like that, which is sometimes players get injured.
There's enough here for us to talk about. I can tell you right now, we could talk about it for the next hour and a half, next 3 hours. I don't know, maybe by the time we get back here next week and we're into the league championship series, perhaps maybe it'll still be a hot enough topic that we'll get back to it. Maybe we will. I hope. Perhaps maybe we do. But unfortunately, we've run out of time here this evening. Hey, I want to thank everybody that's jumped in here tonight. Hey, great job tonight, guys. And Rick on deck, thank you very much for jumping in with us.
You're welcome.
Terrific, terrific evening. We are already seeing some historic baseball playoffs already, folks. Who'd have thunk it? The Chicago Cubs are going to the League Championship Series right there alone. That makes it special. Make sure you're here with us tomorrow night for our all-NFL program, Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz with Brandon and myself. We'll be going over everything that happened in Week 5. You're going to want to be here for that one. Hey, listen, you know what you got to do in the meantime? Get out there and enjoy some baseball. Yeah, enjoy some baseball. Enjoy it.